The Gospel on the second Sunday of Advent from Luke, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Let's pray. O Lord, may your word be fulfilled in our hearing this day. Amen. I feel a little like breaking all my rules and apologizing for the sermon this morning. It's not that terrible, so to speak, but it kind of reiterates what we did last week. You never apologize for a sermon, by the way. When I teach young pastors about preaching, when I teach a preaching course, first thing I say is never apologize for your sermon. That ruins the whole thing. The people are waiting for you to fall down. So don't ever do that. You would never apologize before a performance, would you?
No, even though sometimes I should.
Well, you do it after, but not before. Right. What I'm thinking is last week's sermon, this is really a reiteration of last week's sermon. It's about doing something. Do something, you know? And I think that's appropriate and important to hear in Advent. That's half of the Advent story. The other half is waiting, isn't it? It's about becoming still and waiting for the coming of the Lord. And we probably have more trouble being still than we do have doing. Isn't that true? So the next couple of weeks we'll talk about being still. Today we'll talk again about doing. What do Winnie the Pooh and John the Baptizer have in common? Yeah, it's a joke. What do Winnie the Pooh and John the Baptizer have in common? You guys should get this. They have the same middle name. Took you a while. Seriously, what do these famous people have in common? Isaiah, John the Baptizer, Jesus of Nazareth, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa. The list could go on. That's just a couple of people picked out. What do they have in common? A lot. They have faith, right? Conscience, courage, vision. I bet one thing you would never think of that they have in common is imagination. They have imagination. I think it's a faculty of human beings that's highly underappreciated, particularly in the sphere of religion. Each one of them imagined new worlds, a new creation, a new way of being that seemed to escape the thinking of other people. And if you're thinking, well, big deal, I'll tell you, it is a big deal. It is a big deal because imagination is a primary receptacle, if I can say, for God's revelation. It's as necessary as having a loving heart or a trusting mind. You know, when the evangelists wrote their gospels about Jesus, or when the prophets had their visions, where does this revelation come from? Well, it comes from God, obviously. But it comes to the imagination, which begins to imagine things that are not and yet will be, right? I would say to my fellow Christians, that you, with all due respect, if Advent doesn't heat up our blood and clear out the cobwebs and get us moving toward a more peaceful and loving world, then we're probably lacking just a little bit in the imagination department. Now, John and Isaiah and Mother Teresa and the rest of the gang that I mentioned are on almost everybody's list of really godly people, right? Godly means godlike. God, I leave Jesus out of that list because Jesus is not godlike, is he? We Christians say Jesus is God. But these others are godlike. A godly person is someone who manifests certain gifts which have to be divine. They come from God, and they make us like God in a certain respect. It doesn't make us equal to God, but rather it means that we manifest something that is the way God is. You know any godly people? Anybody know godly people? They're a blessing, are they not? They're a blessing. Now, surely it seems to me that one of God's great gifts is the gift of imagination. God imagined light, and lo and behold, there was light. Can you imagine imagining light? No, you cannot. Imagine being blind and trying to imagine light. Can you imagine that? I grew up with a girl. We were in YF together, and she was blind from birth. And I always wondered what it was like to be her. Try to imagine explaining the color red to a blind person. Explain a sunrise to a blind person. How would you do that? How could you imagine that? But God can do it. God imagined light, and by God, there was light. God imagined man and woman and animals of every kind growing and living together in peace and harmony. And by golly, there was a garden. Can you imagine the world as a garden, as a place of peace, where people live together in joy and in harmony? I can barely imagine a day without the Israelis and Palestinians going at it. Imagine that. God did, and it was. And then humankind decided that it just couldn't live with all that peace and harmony. And you know what happened. God allowed us to go our own disastrous way. But even then, even with God allowed us to do what we wanted to do, God imagined something better. God imagined a day when God himself, when Emmanuel, which means God with us, would come and bring God into our midst once again. And God imagined, and this is a surprise that could be deduced from no known logic, God imagined that Emmanuel would be, now get this part, you won't believe this, that Emmanuel would be a little baby, conceived out of marriage by a peasant girl, born in a stable under the wet noses of the farmyard creatures. Can you imagine that? No, you cannot. We can think about it. We know the story. We can imagine the story because we've heard it. But never could we have imagined that before it happened. Only God has that kind of imagination. And there's at least one more trick God has got up his sleeve. And this is what Advent is really all about. The world is not going to stay as it is. The world is not going to stay as it is. Injustice, God will not have it. Poverty, it's got to go. Mourning and crying and death, as cataloged in John's book of Revelation, these will one day all be in the past tense. Can't quite imagine it, can you? Seems too good to be true, doesn't it? Well, the good news is God can imagine it. And God's good desires for this world cannot be for long withstood. Now, where does that leave us? Where does that leave all of us? Well, nowhere, really, if we don't get with the program. Like John and Isaiah and Dr. King and Mother Teresa, one must imagine what can be before it can ever come into being. I'm not talking about the second coming. We don't bring that about. God does that. God will fulfill it in the end. But I'm talking about here and now and the world that God has given us, about our responsibility and our opportunity, about the good things that can happen when we imagine it and put our hearts to it and get in gear and do it too. Is there poverty? It is because God's people, and I'm not talking about Fisk Church alone, we're a small part of things. It is because of God's people, and I don't mean only Christians, have not imagined abundance for all. Injustice, our imaginations have not yet led us to care enough for others to work for a just world. Violence, Have we cared to imagine how we can personally wage peace on earth? The need is so appallingly enormous, it's enough to make you pull out your hair, what's left of it, except for two things. First of all, God expects his disciples to do something, but not everything. You cannot do everything. I'm going to let you off the hook this morning. You can't do everything. Remember John Wesley's prescription? We've talked about it before. Do all the good that you can, by all the means that you can, in all the ways that you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Do you notice Wesley's emphasis in each line? You can. All that you can. It's not what you cannot do that counts, it's what you can do. It's the change you can make. So throw your guilt away. You don't need to be guilty. God doesn't want you to be guilty. It's not going to help a thing. You can't do everything. On the other hand, you are expected to do something. There's nothing worse than a useless Christian, is there? Is there? Is there anything worse than not being the person God has created you to be? God expects us to be useful. God expects us to make the most of our gifts. And honestly, and I'll be personal now, honestly, it sometimes feels like we haven't got very much to give, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel that way? I can't tell you how many times in my life I've made hospital calls and left feeling defeated. I guess because I couldn't be like Jesus and raise them up out of the bed and bring them home. Sometimes our gifts don't seem like very much, do they? Do they? There was an elderly lady in a church I served in Crawford, Nebraska. Anybody been to Crawford, Nebraska? No? Right outside Crawford, Nebraska is Fort Robinson, where Crazy Horse was murdered. You know that story? It's close to Wounded Knee, and it's close to Mount Rushmore. Anyway, nice place to live. There's an elderly lady in my church. She was shut in, couldn't get out, couldn't do much. So her job in the church that she volunteered for was folding the Sunday bulletins. That was a small church. I didn't have a secretary, so I had to run the bulletin myself. And so every Thursday, I had to take the bulletins and drive over to her house and talk to her for 5 minutes and give her the bulletins. And I'd have to come back the next day, drive over, and pick up the bulletin she folded. I could have done it in 5 minutes. I don't know how long it took her. Seems like a small thing, doesn't it? But it wasn't. It mattered to her. It mattered to her church. It mattered to the Lord God Almighty. As Mother Teresa wrote, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is very close, we may not be able to do much, but if we do it with love, we accomplish much. Our efforts may not bring the kingdom, but they open the door to the kingdom. I want you to know that you are part of the victory, and every act of kindness, every gift given with a generous heart, every stand you make for justice, every peaceful act you do, opens the door to the kingdom just a little bit wider. You can do it. Yes, you can. Let's pray. Oh Lord, sometimes we sell ourselves short because we can't do everything. Sometimes we don't do anything. So we pray that through your Holy Spirit we may be encouraged, that our imaginations may be opened, that we will find new and exciting ways to serve you and our neighbor. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is coming, we pray. Amen.